Last week we, talked about casting all your care on the Lord, for He cares for you under the mighty hand of God, and talked a lot about that and what that means for us. And just praying this week, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm not quite finished with that yet. He said, I want you to drive that truth home a little bit more, because it is something we all struggle with. And I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, all of us, including myself, if we get a revelation of what it means to really cast our care onto Him, if we get a revelation of that, we can live a stress-free life, a life absent of anxiety and just the stress that comes when we're trying to take things into our own hands. And so He said, I want you to drive this truth home, because it is the answer. It's all in Me, and it's all in that casting that care on Me. So today, tonight, we're going to look at Matthew 11, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And it says, come to Me. Now, Jesus, of course, is talking to everybody. It wasn't just His disciples. There was more people there as well. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I just want to stop there for a second. You notice right off the bat, He says, come to Me. And you remember when we talked about this last week, Peter, our great example, when the storm and the tempest and everything was happening on the water and he was in the boat, he was in the middle of a very gigantic storm. And he saw Jesus and he said, if that's you, tell Me to come to you. And what did Jesus say? He said, come. Come to Me. So the first thing Peter had to do was step out of the boat and come to Jesus. And sometimes we're in this frame of mind where we're in the middle of our mess, or we're in the middle of the dilemma, in the middle of whatever, and we don't think to come to Him. It's that simple. Come to Me. And Peter came to Him in the midst of the storm. Now, we did talk about how he sank last week, but the thing that I want you to know tonight, when He says, come to Me, it's hard, it's difficult to come in the middle of the storm. It's easy to go to the Lord when everything is going right and we have our prayer time and we talk to Him and everything's wonderful. But for some reason, when everything's not good, or when you're stressing about something, or you're dealing with a health issue in your life, or a financial issue or whatever, for some reason, we don't go to Him. We feel like we have to do something about it, and we better do something straight away. And we start either worrying or losing sleep or stressing over it, whatever. So He says, come to Me. That is the first thing we got to remember. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Or you could say, all you who are weary, fatigued, loaded up, or overwhelmed with anxiety. That's what that means. If you're weary, fatigued, loaded up, or overwhelmed with anxiety. And every single one of us goes through those periods of time. And I think we could go through them a lot less if we learn to come to Him. He says, if you are feeling like this, come to Me and I will give you rest. Next verse. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, here, our souls is, of course, it's our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's basically what is in the struggle all the time. So even if you're experiencing something in your body, it's your mind you're having to deal with. All the scare thoughts, all the whatever thoughts, the enemy comes at you. And so it's your mind, your will, and emotions. He says, if you come to Me, you're going to find rest for your souls. Now, also, you got to remember here, He was talking to, earlier in this chapter, John the Baptist had sent messengers to say, you know, because he heard everything Jesus was doing. And John the Baptist was like in prison, you know, in chains. And soon he didn't know, but soon he was going to be beheaded. But here he is all cooped up in prison, and he's hearing all these wonderful things. And that was before Jesus said this. And messengers come and say, John the Baptist wants to know, are you the one or is there another one? So you can be in the middle of something and thinking, how come everybody else over there is getting what they want? Jesus was healing people. Jesus was doing this, setting people free. And John's in prison. And so you gotta get your head around this thing. Like, just because you're in the middle of turmoil or whatever your dilemma is, doesn't mean Jesus isn't there. Doesn't mean you still have to come to him. And he's saying, if you come, I'll give you rest for your souls. The other thing they were dealing with was the burdens that the Pharisees put on them. The guilt, you know, just the load, it says, the heavy load that they couldn't bear. You know, you're not doing it good enough. It's not, and, you know, the enemy does that to us. He puts all this pressure on us. You're not praying enough. You're not doing this enough. You're not reading the word enough. And, I mean, all those things are good. We need to spend time in the word and in prayer. But the enemy, the devil, will always come and tell you it's never enough. And so we get these guilt feelings. You didn't, you know, you should have visited that person. You should have done this. You should have done that. And, you know, maybe you shouldn't have gone there. And you get this, And Jesus is saying, if you come to me, there's none of those loads with me. You're going to find rest for your souls. And then the last verse there, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So tonight, just for a few minutes, I'm not going to keep you long. I forgot to start the timer. Just for a few minutes, I'd like to just talk about, I'm going to do an Aubrey and a Liam. Three things I believe the Lord showed me about yoking up with Jesus and what it means to be yoked to the Lord. And to, you know, to in this thing, when he says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the first thing I want to do is, Aiden, if you could put that slide up of the oxen. There we go. Okay, now I'm sure you know what two oxen look like, yoked together. So basically a yoke is a wooden beam. You see it there, this crossbar that's used between two oxen, or it could be other animals, to enable them to pull together on a load because it's easier when you're working in pairs. All right, so that's what it is. When they share the load, then they work more evenly, more effectively, and they're more productive. And, of course, we know anytime we share a load, whether it's a physical load or whatever kind of a load it is. You know, if someone is helping you, it eases you and eases that burden off of you. So, you know, the farmers would do this and they would yoke them together and they would, you know, get the work done more efficiently and more productively. And the other thing they would do is they would, you can keep it up there for a bit. Oh, sorry. Aiden didn't touch anything. It just disappeared. The other thing is, with the yoking, is they generally will yoke an older, more experienced animal with a younger or less experienced one. So while they're working, they're being trained. So now if you take that first thing, all right, the first thing about being yoked with Jesus is it's a partnership. We are in partnership with him. We share his work. Now, you might think, oh, well, I'm not in the ministry, but that doesn't matter because we all have an assignment here on this earth. And whether it's being a good parent, whether it's running a business, whether it's being a school teacher, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, whatever your calling in life is, whatever it is you do and you do well, it's a gift that God has given you, and it's your assignment on earth. And, you know, God wants to multiply the kingdom of God through people just infiltrating every area and every part of society and being just that presence of Jesus. So whatever you do, you need to be yoked up with Jesus and in partnership with him. He's saying, go shoulder to shoulder with me. Why? Because he's experienced. He's experienced, and he's going to be training you as you're going. The more you go to him, the more you yoke up with him as a partnership, he is going to be training you in things of the kingdom. And let me tell you, fear, anxiety, and all stress, those are not qualities of the kingdom. Peace, joy, love, all these things, they're the qualities of the kingdom. Healing, wholeness, blessing, prosperity, these are all the things of the kingdom. So as we yoke up with him in a partnership, he is going to be training you how to walk in kingdom ways. You cannot do that aside from him. You cannot. He says, come to me. It has to be in a continuing relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, it's not a hard thing to do. You just talk to him. You listen to him. It is easier than what we make it. It is easier than what we make it. So when we're in this relationship with him, you know, we're doing things his way because he's the older, more experienced, and he's guiding through that yoke, all right? And we're doing things his way. And so we become more effective and more productive in our walk of life, whatever that is. If you feel like you're missing the grade sometimes, or you feel like, I seem to be behind all the time, or, you know, something just, it's just not coming together for you, whatever it is. You feel like you're constantly stressed about something, then we have to continue with him and let him train you and walk with him, and you will become more effective and more productive in what you do. I know there's been so many times when both of us haven't known how to tackle something or how to handle something. And as soon as we step back and ask the Holy Spirit, boom, an answer comes. Why? Because he knows better than we do. And he's training us how to be more effective and how to walk like him. And then when you're in that training process and you're partnered with him, you also become more like him. So how Jesus would respond to something, you become more like that. You find your temper doesn't flare as much, your anxiety levels don't go up, you know, you feel hopeful, more hopeful about things rather than despair, and you have a sense of peace. You know, you can have peace and joy even in the midst of severe circumstances. That is the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. Let's just look at Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. All right, there it is again. Cast your burden. He shall sustain you. And that word sustain, it also means provide sustenance. His sustenance is the best feed you can get. So he's going to sustain your soul if you cast your burden on him. He shall never, never, ever permit the righteous to be moved. And that, when it says there to be moved, it says he will never allow you to waver or to become unstable or to fail. You might feel like you fail sometimes, but in Christ, you do not fail because he always brings you the victory. Always. If you turn it over to him, he always brings you the victory. So he will not allow you to slip. He won't allow you to waver or to fall. He will sustain you and stabilize you. And just if we can see that in the message as well. I like this. Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. Pile them on. just pile them on. You know, like we talked about last week, just visualize yourself just giving it over to him and just getting his mind on things. You know, there's times when I get distracted or I feel detached from, I know God's always with me, but you know there's times when you're distracted and you've got all these things on your mind and you can feel detached. When I get like that, you know, nothing makes sense. And it seems like I'm struggling and I don't know why I'm struggling and I can feel uptight or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I think, just ask the Lord about this. You know, I've tried to come to a place in my life with every single thing. It doesn't matter what it is. If I have a question about anything or about a decision or about anything, I always, always go to him. It could be, you know, just a host of things. Doesn't matter what it is. I always go and ask the Holy Spirit because I find when I do that, then all of a sudden the weight comes off me and I get a peace. And when I don't do that, there's no peace. There's no peace. So he says, partner with me. Being yoked with him is a partnership with him. And, you know, it wouldn't matter even if things are looking really bleak around you. When you're partnered with him, it doesn't feel bleak. There's a difference. It can be bleak, but not feel bleak. You just have the sense of knowing God will get you through. All right, so that's the first thing. Being yoked with him is a partnership. The second thing is, when oxen are yoked together, the master controls them. So, you know, there is a third person there, third creature. There is a third party there with the oxen. They don't just go on their own. There's someone that's got the reins. And so there we are one with Jesus Christ. And he is one with the Father, and we're all one together. And so your load isn't going to get lighter until you give up control. Whoa. That's a big one. That's a big one. Because I think, you know, even though a person might not be a controlling type person, we all have areas in our life where we need to feel we're in control of our own lives. But he's saying here, when you're yoked up with him, you lose control. You know, you're not in control. You give control to the master. You're yoked with Christ, and you're obedient with him, and he's the experienced one. And so you are in Christ, and who does Christ hear from? Like, you know, he said it all the time on the earth. He said, I don't do anything unless I hear my Father say it or unless I see my Father do it. Jesus was a supreme example of servanthood and about being obedient to the Father's plan. And so he's saying, if you're yoked with me, I'm in control of my Father. So it kind of all moves together. So we have that master planner that's guiding, you know, our lives. So just to look at Matthew chapter 16. If we move together with Jesus, we're going to go at his pace, not our pace. And you can't go in a different direction if you're yoked with him. Now, sometimes if you get off course, that was the other thing that word meant with about being moved. He won't allow you to be moved. He won't allow you to get off course if you're yoked with him. But thank God if we get off course, he knows how to pull us back. Matthew 16 to 20, 21 to 25 says this. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. All right, so this is a big deal. He's telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to get killed. This is what's going to happen. They were ready for him to set up on the earth, and he's saying, this is what I'm going to do. And then we go back to Peter again, and Peter took him aside. I always get amazed by this. He already knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He had stated it. You are the Christ. Peter takes him aside after he says, I'm going to die. And he rebukes him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Ever tell God what's going to happen and what's not going to happen? I've done it. I'm not going to do that. And, you know, this is never going to happen because of this. So he takes the Son of God aside and rebukes him and said, this will not happen to you ever. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself means lose control. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And that's lose. When it says lose your life, it doesn't mean die. It means die spiritually, yes, but it doesn't mean physically. It means you die to what you want. You die to your will and your way, and you submit yourself to his control. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, you know, because it says take up your cross and follow me, I was just thinking about that, how the cross, the beam with the yoking, is it's a timber. It's made of wood. And I just thought, it's when we come to that cross, we're born again, we come to the cross, and we decide, I'm yoked with you, I give up control of my own rights and my own way, and I'm going to follow what you say for my life and follow you in the decisions that I need to make in life. And sometimes that means we have to give ourselves permission to say no. Whoa. Sometimes we don't like to do that. Can you just put that up in the message, the verse 24, Aiden? Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Just that one that I wanted. He said, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. So sometimes, you know, we like to be in the driver's seat, or people coming at us, or we want to say yes to this and yes to that, and God's saying no. Sometimes we get ourselves in a mess and we get ourselves in anxiety and stressed because we don't know how to say no. No to your workplace, no to your friends, no sometimes to your family, no to too much entertainment. I'm not saying none of these things are bad in themselves, but anything that becomes something where you can't say no, oh, this person needs me to help them out again, or, oh, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you, that's a big one I had to learn being in the ministry, because you want to say yes to everything and everybody. You want to be there for people. You want to help people. But, you know, I got to a point years ago where it was running me ragged. And I thought, like we said last week, I can't fix this. I'm not the Savior. I'm not the one in control. God has to be the one in control of their lives. So it's that all-important question. And some of you, you know, when you've come up for prayer, you might have heard me say it to you maybe 100 times. You know, if you're in a dilemma or you need prayer for something, I say, I don't know what to do. They say, I don't know what to do. And I've said it to the Lord. And my classic statement and something I tell myself all the time, what does the Lord require of me? Not anybody else. Not pressure from your boss, not your business, not a family member, not your work. Not, doesn't matter. What does God require of me? What is it? Comes from Micah 6:8. But to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with my God. He will show you how to do justice in every situation. He will show you how to love mercy, how to be merciful without it killing you, and to walk humbly with your God. That is all God requires of us. When you're walking with him, he calls the shots. And so You know, people can put pressure on you, make you feel guilty. Those feelings can come, make you feel guilty. But all you need to know is what God is asking you to do in a particular situation. I tell you, it's been my lifesaver, that verse. It's been my lifesaver. And he always lets you know. You get a peace, and you know. Because it's important that he is the one that is controlling your life, not anybody or anything. Galatians 1, verse 10, in the NIV. This is Paul saying, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so many times our stress and anxiety levels come from trying to please somebody else. It happens all the time. And so Jesus is saying, yoke with me, let me be in control, let me be in the driver's seat. How do you want to spend my time? How do you want me to spend my money? How do you want me to bring up my kids? What school should my kids go to? Ask God everything. And it's the best way to stay on course. Stay on course. Okay, so that was the second thing. So the first one was, yoked means you're in partnership. Second one was, God is in control. You're not in control. He is. And the last one, very quickly too, and I'm finished, is his yoke is easy. It's easy. It's easy yoking up with Jesus. It's not difficult. Seriously, we tell ourselves it is, or the enemy will tell us it is, but it's not. And that word easy actually means kind, useful, or better. It's better to be yoked with Jesus. It's better to be in partnership with him. It's better to be controlled by him than everything else around you. You know, it's better. And it's easy because it fits well. His yoke fits well. You know, he's custom fit a yoke to each and every one of you because we're all different. So he kind of custom fits it. And so, you know, we move with him and it just kind of happens. You know, you can get into this way where, and you'll start one, like I said last week, you'll start feeling guilty sometimes because it brings such freedom. Such freedom. You know, you just feel liberated when it happens. His teachings and his principles are the same for everyone, but our various assignments in life are different. What all the things that we do are different, so he just makes it easy for whatever it is you're called to do, whatever your calling in life is. God makes it easy for you if you yoke up with him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the other thing is, his yoke is oiled. It's easy because it's oiled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're going through trouble, whatever it is, cast your care, get into the Word, find out what his Word says, pray in the Holy Spirit, always ask, what do you require of me? If your work is going in a different direction or whatever you do, you know, if you feel a check, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. There were times when we felt massive checks and did nothing about it, you know, because you're afraid. You're afraid. You just think, you know, this will fall apart or whatever. But boy, you know, we had to learn the hard way. So always, always just stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. Let's just finish with a song.